years ago. How quickly you forget. That is the key. Once you do well, don't you? That's the first thing you got to say. Before you ask anything else, that's what you got to say. Because then you're getting somebody to agree to help you. You can go back and use that. After I went through all the referrals, I said to somebody, hey, who do you know? Just one person. One person is going to be good for you. Do that the next thing. And you just say you want to see
them. I was hungry and tired.
And you can't get there. And that's why you say that. That's simple, but you've got to practice it so you know it. That's what I'm saying. Some of you guys have been here before, and I throw out a question like that, and you still don't know. That means you're not practicing. That means you're not going over,
don't you?
Spending a weekend with us. But when you leave here, it's not kind of going over to the golf pro, and you go to the golf pro, and you take the last winter to get grip, stance, get all these things, and then the golf pro says, look, the reality of it is, unless you're going to go to the range, unless you're going to take buckets of balls, practice that new grip, and that new stance, and that new thing, you've got to go back to work the way you always did it. And that's what most people do. You've got to practice. Why is that so difficult? Get together with people and practice. All right, so then you can ask them, what is it about the opportunity that you're more interested in, right? Then asking that question, then of course you're going to get a reason. You're going to get the objection. You're going to get the thing. We'll spend some time going over some more objections. You can throw out objections to me and I can always help you. I hope you won't stop. We'll come back to that. Okay, I'm going to go through this first and then we'll do that. Okay, so we already went through if somebody's not interested. Now we got number two, product. Someone says, you know what, I really just want to try the product. So maybe there's an interest in product. You ask them a question. Once again, which product are you most interested in? Like, I don't start getting to tell those because somebody says, I want the product, I'm interested in product. I ask the question, what product are you most interested in? Maybe they don't, and maybe they're not interested in all three products. Maybe they're only interested in one product. So I don't want to start explaining to them. They go, well, I'm interested in the energy drink. Great. What is it you want to know about the energy drink? They might say, how much does it cost? Maybe that's all they care about is the price. Maybe they don't even care about anything. So I don't try to make more work for myself. I just ask what it is they want to know, and then once they tell me what they want to know, then that's when I'll deal with it. Like, so if they say, well, what's in it? Then I'll deal with it. If they say, how is it made? Where is it made? I mean, if they start asking me a bunch of questions, then, of course, I've got to address their questions. But until I know what their questions are, I'm not going to try to guess them. All right? Very simple. So then, once again, like we talked about earlier, that's why you need to know the product. That's why you need to be on the conference call to get information. That's why you need to have resources. Every one of you should know your product inside and out. Any company that I was ever in, I knew the product inside and out. Although, remember, I lead with the opportunity. Although, I am more selling what? What am I selling? What's the number one thing I'm selling? I'm selling fulfillment of somebody's dreams. Although that's all true, I still knew my product inside and out. Because, of course, it's going to come up. People are going to ask you questions about what do you read. People are going to say, oh, the product FDA approved. People are going to ask you. Not everybody, but enough people. You need to know those things. You need to know. Have any of you ever been asked if your product is FDA approved? You've got to know the answer.
Very much on Mars in class. Excuse me to interrupt you. I did exactly what you trained us to do. You reacted exactly the way you said you would. You didn't know who was the FDA.
What do you know about the FDA?
Nothing.
I wouldn't have a thing about it.
right there on your track. And then you educate. And then you think about how powerful it is. When somebody says, well, I don't really know anything, now you have an opportunity to show what you do know. Now it gives what? It gives confidence. It gives him confidence when you can bounce back and go, what do you know about the FDA? Well, nothing. Let me tell you about the FDA, boom, and then you start rattling off stuff. Now all of a sudden he's going, wow, okay, all right, you know your stuff. Yeah, maybe I
know.
Well, first thing you got to do is ask the question. Because you're not on defense. You're on offense. You're always on offense. So you got to know your product. Again, if I was a distributor, so well, I would know your product inside and out. Now, I know some things about the product. But again, if I'm building a business day in and day out, you need to know your product. And you can get the information online. There's a lot of information. A lot of information available. Whether it be on the conference calls, there's information that way. And there's videos, and there's just tons of information. Now, you don't take that information and use it unless it's necessary. You don't just start rattling off information. And the more analytical you are, if you're a qualified personality, you tend to want to do that. But you only do that when it's called for. When it's called for. I know for some of you that's a challenge. You know, just feel it necessary. Let me pull out all the white papers and all the triple blind studies. Well, the reality is, like, if you meet up with somebody who's a fun personality, they're a something personality, they're not going to want to get that. They can't even read anything. What is the biggest objection you're going to run into when dealing with people? The product is going to be price. Because people aren't used to and not aware enough to know. If you take a functional beverage, to most people, what is a functional beverage? To most people, it's just juice, right? That's what that's how they kind of look at it, as a juice. Well, most people aren't used to paying, like, they go buy orange juice at the store, they're not used to paying $40, right? They're paying $5, or $3, or something like that, for orange juice. And that's how their minds work. And that's why you got to create value in your product. Create value in your product. But you got to think in terms of creating higher price. Nobody likes their first price. Whenever you talk about price, nobody likes their first price. You always got to start with a higher price because then anything you do, think about it, when you go to a car lot, you don't expect to pay the price. It's automatically assumed. I mean, you know, you do not like the price. Like when you sell a house, same thing. They list it. You know you're not paying it for it. That's why they put it up higher. I mean, that's what you have to realize. It's a game. There's only things that people that work in a partnership know that the customer expects not to pay that price. What do you think they do? Raise the price. Yeah, no problem. We'll take $500 off. But they raised it $500 more. It just looks good. You ever go by a store? Think about this. You don't think stores know what they're doing? I do. They start the price at $9.99. Then they say they're having a sale, and they put a line through. And then it's down to $6.99. Then they put a line through. Then it's down to $4.99. Then they put a line through. Then they put the word close out. Yeah, they gotta put that. Close out, and then like $2.49. And then somebody goes in and walks by. They weren't even intending on buying what you said. You know, they walk by and go, whoa. They go and buy that, and then they go home, and their spouse says, hey, what do you got? I don't know, but it was a good deal. This right here is a technique called reduce to the ridiculous. It's called reduce to the ridiculous. Reduce to the ridiculous. So here what they've done is taken a price, and they've lowered it down. Even though this price might be high for what they're buying, it, their perception of it is a lot better. So if you're selling a functional beverage that's $40, how much is it? $42?
Retail's $42.
Retail $42. So in that instance, I would say if you went out and got all the ingredients that were in this bottle, this would be a product that would sell for over $100. And the other thing you could do is you could say that. You could say it as a case. How much is the case? 160. So if I'm out selling the product, so it's a lot of this cost, and I would have a can there with me, one can, right? I would say, they say, well, how much is this? Well, say it's $160. What do you think their response would be?
Oh,
Are you crazy?
What?
Oh, man, I'm sorry. No, no, no. It's not 160. That's for a case. I mean, that's not what it is. It's $42 for one can, not 160. And I can tell you what, with all the ingredients that are in this bottle right here, it would be over $100. But the thing is, because of the way we manufacture the product, even though they're the highest level of ingredients you can get, it's only $42. You see, it's all in how you present it, is how something is perceived. It's how you present the value created. But nobody likes that first price. They just don't. If you say it's $42, the people ain't going to like that price. Whatever the first price is, they don't like it. They always want a deal. Everybody wants it. And that's the psychology of people. But you got to know your product, you got to know your price points, you got to know what kind of deals you can make people, you got to know, does it make more sense to set it up for them to be a distributor to buy the product. You got to know all those things. You got to know the ins and the outs of what you can do with your price points and what, and you got to know your just the information related to the product. That's how you sell the product. I just ask the question, what is it you're particularly interested in? No, well, actually, I'm interested in all the products. All the tech, so you'd like to get them all. And then when you ask questions, you just ask closing questions. Would you like to get one? Try to ask multiple choice questions. This way, it's not yes or no, yes, I want to buy or no, I don't want to buy. You ask alternative choice close. An alternative choice close is you're giving them multiple things to choose, but not one of the options is not buying. So do you want to get... Do you want to get the functional beverage, the energy drink, the coffee, or pack it together and get all three? I didn't ask if they want to buy, I just asked them what they're going to buy. So alternative choice closing question are a good thing. This way they say, no, I don't want them all, I just want the coffee. Then you sold the product. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions on that?
Well, then you get to... You know, I want the functional beverage. How much is it? You tell them how much, and then it's, oh, that's too expensive.
Well, then you, well, first of all, you're probably not doing up. You probably didn't tell them it's $160, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we started at the month's supply. Oh, I didn't go to just a bottle.
Huh?
Never mind. But okay. So I started at the month supply, but then I never just offered to sell just a bottle. So I didn't go down.
In other words, and you didn't produce the ridiculous, and you didn't probably talk about all the ingredients in and how much it would cost. You know, if you had all these different ingredients and you got them all individually, like if you went to the store and got this ingredient, this ingredient, this ingredient, this would be over $100.
Yeah.
Just break down your ingredients. Think about all the different ingredients that are in that and make that up. The fruits, the vegetables. If you went out, think about 21 servings of fruits and vegetables, what would that cost? Say, let me ask a question. If you went out right now to the supermarket with 21 servings of fruits and vegetables, what would that cost?
At least
20
bucks. 15 bucks.
And then that's just one ingredient inside of the product. So let's go next. That's why you got to know your ingredients, and then you can price it all the way out. And you can go, if you bought all these individual ingredients, you'd be over $100. So we combine all these ingredients once, even 21 servings of fruits and vegetables. You always know. You know you need fruits and vegetables, and that's a high level of fruits and vegetable content, isn't it? Now you consider yourself to be an intelligent person, don't you? You know you need fruits and vegetables, right? Great. So you're getting a great product. I mean, think about it. What would it cost if you had major health issues? What would that potentially cost? It could cost a lot, right? So having good health is obviously important. Now I'm not saying this or anything like that, but obviously if you could do good maintenance for your body where you could potentially stay healthier, that could save you a lot of money, couldn't it? So, when they say it's too expensive, by the way, what you say is that too expensive. That's no different than what's saying, what do you know about the FDA? You say, too expensive. Now, if you're there face to face, you got to do it just like my face. See, that's what you got. What is my face saying?
Really?
Right? Because they don't know it's too expensive. They just look at dollars, man. They don't know whether it's too expensive, too cheap, too... They don't know. Think about it. Why you go in and you look at a diamond,
and let's just say a 5-carat diamond. It's still pretty small. It's a small thing. 5-carat diamond. And yet a 5-carat diamond could be over 100 grand. Okay? And people paid it. Why? Because somebody else established the value at that point, and people have come to accept it. So you have to realize that the reason they say it's too expensive is because they don't have a perceived value of it. So they look at that can, it's like, that can? Now, if that can was filled with liquid gold, they think, that's it? It's $42? Give me 10 of them. It's all what they believe is perceived value. You have to create it. And that's one of the ways to create it. It's, that's too expensive. Too expensive? Let me ask you a question. How much do you know about powerful antioxidants? Do you know how much they cost? How much do you know about saving, because you're having good health, don't you agree if you had really good health that you're going to probably save money in the long run in terms of medical bills, things of that nature? What if you have to pay for a lot of medication to be in fact, that can run a pretty hefty bill, couldn't it? Too expensive. Are you kidding me? Do you know how hard it is for them to make this product? Do you know that it's so perishable? It has to be made so quickly. You know how many people are involved in the process? Too expensive. I mean, that's all you've got to do is take away people's... You know, they feel like I said, when they ask questions, like, they're confident. And basically what people are doing is testing you. Like, they're just testing you, man. They want to see how you stand up to the test. So when they go too expensive, you go, well, yeah, it kind of is expensive. That's probably not the best way to overcome it. Or you go, well, let me see. Maybe I can give you $20 off. That ain't gonna work. Or then, worse, I'll give it to you before you. That's the killer. And then you give it to free, they probably never even use it. That's crazy. At least $22, I show you one thing. They'll be drinking that. So it's just the attitude. I used to sell, when I was selling water filtration systems, what I used to do when I sold them, first of all, we had a whole home unit that sold for $1,500 and a countertop that sold for $150. I would go to people's houses, they go, how much? I would say it's $1,500. They would go, what? $1,500? I think, no, I'm sorry. The whole house is $1,500. This is only $180. Oh, okay. People don't like their first price. Once I put the higher price out there, then after that, there's several ways to overcome it. So they go, man, I just, you know, too expensive. Do you buy a bottle of water now? And I would go through the whole thing of how much you spend per gallon for water, and I'll break it down. And then after that, I'd be like, too expensive. How do you and your family all work? And this is another great line to use with health products. That's what I sold. That's how I made my money, to sell health products, nutrition products, all that stuff. So I would say, wait a second, what kind of price tag would you put on your family's good health? You mean to tell me your family's not worth $42? Wow. $42. Your family's not worth $42. Your family's good health not worth $42. At least try it and see what kind of feeling you get. I'm telling you, give it to your kids. It's amazing. And the good thing is because it tastes good, my kids love it. My kids would drink it like it was apple juice, which is definitely expensive. That would be an expensive class of juice. But when I get it out, my kids come running, my 4-year-old's hilarious. My kids race. But so you just say, you would put $42 is too much for good health in your household. That's why I used to tell water system. You're gonna let your family drink tap water. So you're telling me your family's not worth $180 to have good, clean, safe water. No. Why? Go ahead and just write me a check. And then I would laugh too when people would be like, this is one of my best clothes. Man, it's just, I don't know, right now, it's just money's tight. Mom, they should check out the Greg Amherst. You know what? That's a technique called ignore. Ignore the objection. You can start the business at $199. Give me your credit card.
Let them do it.
Same thing with the compensation plan. If you don't know the compensation plan inside and out, but somebody else does, use them. Let them explain. Let them break it. This compensation plan, though, you know, you don't need to get caught up in the whole compensation plan, because you got to go through each step and give it to you. So all you need to know is what's the next step. Wherever you are, you need to know what's the next step. You can focus on all these high positions, but that's like looking at a staircase and knowing you got to get to the eighth step and trying to run and jump to the eighth step. You're going to get hurt. So all you need to know is I need to take about one step at a time. Once I get to the next step, what is the next step? Okay, and then the next step, and the next step, next thing you know, you're going to be at the eighth step. That's how you do it. You could accomplish more than one step a month, but you're still going to have to go through every step to get to the next one, without a doubt. Any other questions on the problem? Yes?
A couple more objections.
Why, sure.
Somebody says, why are you taking vitamins?
You already take vitamins?
Yeah.
And that's terrific. And what kind of vitamins are they?
A through D.
A through Z? That's the name of it?
No, I'm just...
You take a bunch of vitamins?
A multivitamin.
You take a multivitamin. And you, how did you come to buy that particular brand of vitamin?
Just seen it at the store.
Just seen it at the store. So, do you know for sure that it's really effective, meaning you have studies behind it and things to prove that it's really effective in your bloodstream and really doing your need, or you're just hoping that? Okay, so if you had the opportunity to have something that was proven and documented, that had studies that you absolutely knew the effectiveness of it and it could give you good health, wouldn't you consider replacing what you currently use that you're not sure about with something that's proven and documented? I mean, you're an intelligent person, aren't you? Exactly. So you want to have the best, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Okay, great. That'll be $42.
Okay, my other objection is, what if they don't like the taste?
What if they don't like the taste
yep.
of the product?
Yep.
So some people, how many have run into that? A couple people, some people do, some people don't.
Yeah.
You say, huh? You guys should be fortunate in how good your product tastes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a company out there called Tahitian Known.
Yeah.
Tahitian Known has been in business for a while, and they made billions of dollars. You know what their drink tastes like?
Throw
I'm not exactly. It tastes like when you ever, you know. And you had to go. When the first time I ever tasted, I've been training for them. The first time I ever tasted the product, I'm like, see, you guys are proven. I said this. You guys are proven commodity in the sense that it has nothing to do with the product. I mean, look at you guys. You've got momentum, and your product tastes like throw-up. It's just horrible. It's one of the worst-tasting things that I've ever had. It's not like just me. It's not like my taste. Pretty much everybody. Like if we pass it around the room, everybody in is like, yeah, it tastes like throw-up. And they have sold more products than you could. So, I tell people, look, you want to be healthy? Yeah. This product tastes good for you.
That's a minute.
This product tastes good for you. Meaning, it's about health. That's what it's about. The ingredients in this product are so good for you. And you know what? If you don't love the taste, you're only taking 2 ounces a day. The reality is, the health benefits is why you're getting the product. It's not. You're not sitting by the poolside drinking it as a tropical drink. It's a health beverage. It's to have good health. So what I tell people is, look, a lot of people like the taste, but I tell people anyway, it tastes good for you. That's what you're taking for. Yeah. I can drink every day.
What's it supposed to do for you?
Well,
other than that breath.
Yeah. No, it has to do, the noni fruit has good benefits. The noni fruit is the fruit that has good benefits. But that's what I'm saying. That's why with your product, people say it doesn't taste good. Yeah, if you did a taste test with it, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. No, it's a nasty taste.
So get a bottle of
Noni
and
they'll
pay for
it. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, you can get people to buy it from. Well, the people that think this tastes bad might think that tastes good.
No, be careful.
You know? Because if they think this tastes bad, wow.
Even the first thing is, don't go five. Oh, no, sorry, Jay, don't
go wrong. Great. Steve, let's see what you could have. You could have this note. Oh, it was funny. He said, what does it taste like? Throw up. Oh my goodness. These people make so much money though. I know a guy who made at least $5 million. $5 million. Crazy. And it's, I'm not that. If my wife was standing right here and you said who would I be saying what? I could turn completely like what is knowing that she's like throw up. So yeah, it's cool. I saw people talk about the taste. You go, well, you know what? We've got another way that you can taste the product. And there's a lot of great, you know, some of the same ingredients that are in our that inch. Let's try that. And they try that. And go, that's terrible too. All right, let's try a coffee.
Try a Monster and see how that tastes.
Let's try our coffee next. You know. All right, do you like the coffee? No. We're clean, sweet. You don't like how anything. So you're gonna get. Listen, you're not gonna get everything, right? You know. I mean, again, how many people does that happen? That's what it boils down. I can't imagine that happens a lot. And if it does, people are lying. Because I don't think the product overall, everybody, you know, that I know has tasted in my circle of my kids, of friends of mine that I've let try it. I haven't gotten it. I think it does happen, of course, because everyone's taste buds different, but I don't think that's a lot. But that's the kind of thing somebody will say a lot. That's what's funny. I had a lot of people try it, and everyone thinks it tastes bad. Really, how many is that? How many is it? Name those people. Well, my cousin, Fred, and one of the cousins. That's a lot of people. That's everyone. You got to always get people to give you exact amount of people die. Yes, sir.
And I've noticed that people that sometimes have tried, especially like Ignite, oh, I don't like it. Then they'll try it 2 weeks or a week later or sometime in the future. Oh, I guess I do like this. So it's just that with that initial taste, they had a bad attitude or something. So a lot of times people that don't like it, they like it.
Well,
they like
the taste. Acquired it. You look at beer.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Beer is definitely acquired. Most people, when they first drink a beer for the first time, don't go, oh, man, this is so good.
Would you also say that energy drinks, people in their mind perceive Red Bull, they've already tasted a Red Bull, I think, or, you know, like it almost quite sounds like high school corn syrup in it. You know, in ours doesn't
have. Yeah, but you say that. But your energy drink, it's not like it doesn't taste bad.
No, it doesn't. But when people say, oh, I don't like the taste, I think.
And then you say, why don't you like it?
You haven't put it over ice. It tastes better with ice.
Mm. You know,
but you have to ask questions.
Right.
You know, what is it about taste? Well, Red Bull just so much sweeter. I get that. But you're also putting tons of sugar in your body, and that's not good for you. Do you want to have diabetes? Do you want to have diabetes? Oh, people with you know, like the studies of people that drink of energy drinks like that? The amount of people that have health issues because of drinking that is out of control. I mean, they're trying to put regulations on that stuff.
Yeah.
So you just got to use those kinds of comments, things like that. Yes, sir.
Do you think that sometimes the first objection is just a smoke screen anyway?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. Some forces that. At all times, in every component of the business, that's the case. Even when people say, I want to do the business, and they say they don't have the money, that's a smoke screen. That's why one thing we do is we attack every objection to find out if it's really the objection. So I agree, absolutely. People lie. They don't want to say the truth. They don't want to say, I don't want to buy it, or I'm not interested, or who cares, or, you know, I don't have the money, so I'll go to call it. That gets them.
They don't
want to
say, I don't think I can do it.
Well, yeah, but I'm just talking about in terms of the problem. People trying to promise. Yes, ma'am.
I've had people ask if it's organic.
Is it organic? I think some ingredients are organic. But those are the kind of things called the company.
Yeah.
Like when you have questions like that, look, the company works for you.
remember that. The company works for you. So pick up the phone, call customer service, they have a product question. Is it organic? I mean, that's the beauty of calling the company. Somebody there better know. So anytime, like those aren't questions that I'll know the answer to. But if I had that question myself, that's who I'd call. You know, a lot of times people call, like, their upline, they call. Call the company. When you have product questions, who makes the product? The company. So it's like you call Warren, he doesn't make the product. You call whoever's above, they don't make the product. You call the company. Any product questions, either if you can't find it on the website, if it wasn't given in terms of the information on a conference call, call the company. And anytime you have a question, so you're educated. They have to have the answer. They make the product. They're the manufacturer. They're the manufacturer. So any product-related thing, you should ingredients, anything. And you know they're going to get the information. That's their job. Any other questions about product in relation to closing the sale or what you're going to do with somebody when they say they want the product? So we're good on that? Okay, now last and obviously best. Somebody said if I want to take advantage of the opportunity. Well, when somebody wants to take advantage of the opportunity, your goal is to take through a four-step process. The four-step process is duplicative. The four-step process is first, get them to fill out an application. Two, product, which is what pack do you want? So the pack that they're going to choose. And one and two kind of work hand in hand. But this only requires money. Step three is their contact list. And step four is training. Now the first question I'm going to ask somebody is how do you want to get started? Do you want to start fast or slow? So I'm always asking that question. How do you want to get started? Do you want to kind of, you know, get going pretty quickly and try to get up and running as fast as possible, kind of go on the fast track? Or do you want to move just slower? Most people are going to say, well, I want to go fast. If you say it the right way, if you ask the question the right way, then they're going to say fast. It's all in how you ask them. I mean, I can't even remember the last time someone said, nope, I want to go really slow. I can't remember. People go fast. So once they go fast, that gives you a lot of options. Why? Because you can always go back to slow. See, if they say, no, I'd rather go slow, there are no options from there. Slow or what? I mean, that's it. So when somebody chooses fast, they go fast. Now, they may not know how much that fast is going to cost, but at least you can go backwards from it. So you want to start fast. Look, there's two fast ways to get started. And you look at $9.99, and what I would do is you got $9.99, and you got $1.89. So it's $9.99 to get a pack, right? Get an application and a pack, right? So if you take $9.99, basically $1,000, and then you add $189, you're at basically $11, so almost $1,200. So what I would say is in this inch, so it's $11.88 because you're including the training, right? So what I would say is, look, if you want to get started fast, you can get started for under $1,200, which is going to give you a product that you need to start your business so you can use, products so that you can actually sell to the end consumer, and also put you in a position to wholesale the product. Put you in a position to wholesale the product. So you can get started for under $1,200. In addition to that, you're going to be able to participate in our university, which is going to give you some advanced training. You're going to get advanced training right away. You're going to get signed up and registered for advanced training. Now, we have some other components of training, online training, consults, things like that. We're going to get you going for advanced training. See, new people only know what you tell them. They only know what you tell them. So when you look at things, and this is what a lot of people... And the choice of how you want to use this. They look at $9.99. How many of you want these people to go to the company?
Yes.
Okay, when do you think you can tell them?
You think you should tell them, like, side note after they're already in? I think that's a huge mistake. If you don't tell them up front, you get them signed up, and then you come back after and say, now, let's talk about training. That's $100,000. That's going to be a lot harder to get. Now they're like, oh, so now it's also this? See, just include it all in one. Let the whole thing come out. Let it all come out, because you can always break it down. Watch. So you say you can get started for under $1,200 in cash, and then you can slow it down a little bit, and you can get started for under $600. Or what is it, $499? Under $700. So you say under $700. So you go really fast, you can still start for under $1,200. You can get started, you know, still fast, but a little bit slower than under $1,200, under $700. Those are the two ways to get your business started fast. See, and then when they say, man, well, you know what, I don't know that I can do 12 months. Well, let me ask a question. Where do you feel you could finish? I feel like, you know what, I can do the 700. Well, if they say, I can't do the 700, but, you know, if it was around 500, I could do it. See, people will tell you stuff like that. So someone would say, you say it's under 700, but, you know, if it was like 500, I could do it. Say, well, here's what we can do. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and get you started for your form. We can break it up. You can do $499. We'll fill out your form for your university. When do you think you can do the rest of it? If it was what? 4 weeks away. If the training was far out, I would do that. If somebody said they only have $500, then I would back it all the way down to, look, what really makes your pace go faster is you going to the training. So what we could do is get you started at $199 and also get you signed up for the training, so you can get started for under $400. So then the person says, I can do that. So see what I'm saying? You start it high. You're almost guaranteed every time to end up $199 and $180. You're almost guaranteed every time to end up $199 and $180. Now, let's say somebody goes all the way down and, man, I can't even do $400. Let's say the training is 3-4 weeks away, 5 weeks away. Say, look, we can break it in half. We can go do it in two parts. Let's go ahead and get signed for $199 now. Let's think about it. If you were all the way up to $1,200, what is $199 going to sound like? A joke, right? You know, if you told them it was $199 from the beginning, you know that would be too much.
Yeah.
That would make somebody go, I can't. But if you had it up to $1,200 and then it was $199, they'd be like, that's a joke, I can do that. These are the same. I mean, that's how people are. So you just break it apart and say, look, let's get your $199 done. And then let's fill out the speak to a success form, and then you get a specific date. When do you think you're going to have this $189 go do that? And I can do that in a week from now. Perfect. So we'll come back and get that then. Meanwhile, let's go on to step number 3. Now, of course, these are people that are in a position to have some money to do something. We're going to go through the objection if they said they have no money. But these are people that when you present the opportunity, you're basically saying you want to start fast, or you want to really just go at a slow pace. No, I want to go fast. Great. You can get started at a fast pace, under $1,200, which is going to include all your training, it's going to include products that enable you to use the product, it's going to enable you to sell the product, it's going to enable you to wholesale the product, and you'll be underway, and that's a fast way to get yourself going. You're going to earn more money because of it, you're going to get higher commissions because of it. I mean, you're really setting yourself up for success doing it. Now, you can slow it down a little bit, but you're still on the fast track, and you can do that for under 700. So what would you prefer to do? Under 1,200 or the under 700? Now, whenever you ask a closing question, you just look at people and you smile. So if you want to do the under 1,200 or the under 700? And shut up. Don't say another word. Don't speak again. I don't care if you're there for 20 minutes. The first one who talks loses. Act like there's something stuck on the side of your face. Act like you've got this gooey, globby, green, slimy thing stuck on the side of your face and it's breathing. And as soon as you ask a closing question, it peels off your face and it sticks on there. And so you just be quiet after that. And you're watching it on their face. And until they talk, man, it stays on them. Don't talk. Under 1,200, under 7, which would you prefer to do?
Okay, 1,200.
You'd be amazed how many people, if you just be quiet, will pay. They will. They'll pay. It's when you start talking, when that silence happens, all people hate it. It's like 5 seconds goes by and you feel like that's 50 minutes. And you're like, well, we also have, you know, you can do 190 notes. Come on. Or, what, you don't have the money? Just be quiet. Under 1200, under 7. Let them come up with the objections. Don't help them. Just be quiet. Obviously, if they say, I can do the 1200, great. So let me pay for it and get them going. If they say they can only do the 7, I can do under 7. Perfect. Do that. Let's say they have objections beyond it, right? So they go, man, I can't do either one. I want to go fast, but no, I can't do that. Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, I know you want to go fast. There's one other option I have. How about under $400? You could do that, can't you? By the way, you'll probably get a lot more people to do that simply because those other numbers are higher. Let's say they go, honestly, I would want to do it, but I can't do anything. So now you've reduced yourself down to having to overcome that objection because now their objection is they have no money. How many have ever said they have no money? Right? Which is a lie. You know that. They have no money? So you live under a bridge? You live in a box? I mean, what do you mean you have no money? I love that. I have no money. So what's the option? You don't really say that.
Oh, I might. That was
depends on the mood. Who it was. I might. If it was my friend, that would you have no money. You're driving a nice car. You got a BMW out there. What do you mean you have no money? So, let's keep going. So, once somebody says they don't have any money, obviously, what you got to do is this is where you got to see if their real reason is money. Because a lot of times people say they have no money to get out, to not do it. That's their way of saying, I really don't want to do it, is making an excuse why they don't want to, or why they can't do it. So what you simply ask in that is to say, well, I want to do it, but I just don't have any money. You say, let me ask you a question. Do you really want to do this business? Yeah. If I could show you a way to access the money you need to get your business started, you'd get going immediately, wouldn't you? If I could show you a way to get started in your business immediately, you'd get started. If I could show you a way to access the money you need to get your business off the ground, you'd get started right now, wouldn't you? I mean, any of those kinds of words. But the point you're making is that they're not thinking outside the box. When people are looking at this business, they look at it like they're spending money, not like they're investing in a business. And so they don't have the right way of thinking. That's our job, to expose people to a new way of thinking. Like on the PowerPoint yesterday, that was one side, to expose people to a new way of thinking. So they don't think right, and that's your job. So I asked somebody, if I can show you a way to access the money you need to get your business going, you get started immediately, wouldn't you? What do you think most people, if they were really sincere about wanting to start the business, would say to them? They'd say yes. Because if they say anything but yes, is their issue money?
No.
Then they have other issues, right? It's that smoke screen you're talking about. Then you know it ain't about money, you know something else. So they got to kind of say yes to that. And what you have first to realize is everyone has the money. Come on, let's be real. Everyone has the money. I don't care if it's $1,200, $700, everyone has the money. Now, they may not have the money in their pocket. They may not have the money in their checking account. They may not have the money in their budget, but they have access to the money. And think about how easy it is to prove that. What if I had a briefcase up here and had 10 grand in cash, and I showed you the 10 grand in cash, and I said, listen, if you go out in the next 6 hours, you bring me $700, I'll give you 10 grand. How do you think most people would pull that off? They would. Why? Value. That's fine. All of a sudden they saw value in what they had to go do. So they'd go out and they'd borrow. That's what they would do. they'll borrow and say, look, I need a short-term loan. And they would go to seven friends, give me $100. And don't, what's it for? Don't worry about it. You'll get your money back. I'll give you interest. I'll give you $120 back, right? Just give me $100. They saw value in doing it. Ego was out of the way. Fear was out of the way. Because the temperature of the value was higher than the fear. Like for me, when I first got into this industry, I got started at $5,700. I didn't have $5,700. I had to borrow it from my mom. Believe me, my vision of the company, my excitement for the company, and what I saw I could get out of the company was way more valuable than me being afraid to go to my mom and ask for that money. So that's why I was able to get it and borrow it. Everybody can get $1,200, $700, or any amount of money if they truly see value they want to have. So you got to have that in your mind. You got to know that you can look at the situation and sit down with them and you feel bad and you're like, oh, I don't think they really have the money. I don't know that they really have the money. They have the money. Okay? Got to know that. So the next question is, once you get them to say, yes, I'm interested, you got to ask them, start with a credit card. So do you have a credit card? Do you have a credit card you can put it on? Give them, say, one of three things. They could say, yes, I have a credit card, but I don't want to use it. They could say, yes, I have a credit card, but it's maxed out. Or they could say, no, I don't have a credit card. Obviously, if someone says, no, they don't have a credit card, well, we've got to move on to the next thing. Well, let's say they say, yes, I have a credit card, but I don't want to use it. Now, the number one reason someone's going to say that is because they look at it the wrong way. They don't want to use it because they look at it like they're spending money. And obviously they're already in debt, and obviously they're already struggling trying to pay their credit card bill because they don't even have $700. So if their money's that tight, then they're probably just paying the monthly minimum. So the last thing they want to do is add more to their credit. So you ask them the question, well, why is it that you don't want to use your credit card? And they'll say, well, because I mean, I'm already in debt. I already have too much on my credit card. I don't want to add more to it. I get that. Well, let me ask you this. Would you like to pay off your entire credit card? Well, yeah. And so if this opportunity could pay off your entire credit card, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Well, yeah. So let me ask you this. If we could use this credit card to start your business and not only be able to pay back what we used to start with, but pay off your entire credit card, I mean, you'd be open to that, wouldn't you? See, if you're talking to somebody who's for real, they just don't get it, then they're going to say yes all day long. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've got to use a credit card who said to me, I have a credit card, but I don't want to use it. I mean, over my career, I couldn't even remember how. And then I just break it down for them. I go, look, you get started. And your credit card bill is going to come in 30, 60, 90, 120 days. I mean, you're going to get a credit card bill, right? 30, 60, 90, 120 days. Well, how much does somebody make when they ring somebody for a $4.99 pack? How much? $70, right? So $70. So what I'm going to tell somebody is, look, if somebody came in for $4.99 and even the $1.89, so about $700, how much would their monthly minimum payment be on $700?
$35?
$50? Okay. So what I would say is, what do you think your monthly minimum will be on that? Whatever they say. $40, $50. I don't care. They could say it's $70. I mean, the reality is that they could say it's $70. They're going great. So listen, if we went out and we shared this opportunity with people, and all we did was sign up one person to do exactly what you did. I mean, first of all, you think that's possible. Then in the next 30 days, we could just sign up with one person. Just like, what do you think they might say?
Sure.
Yeah. So if we sign up one person, we just made $70 just on that transaction. That made your first payment on your credit card, didn't it? Now, is it possible we could do a whole lot better than get one person? Is it possible the person you got to get another person, which also helps you to make some money? Well, at the end of the day, who knows how much we're going to make? We're talking on the minimum. So without any money out of your pocket, because it ain't your money. Where did the money come from? It came from Sozo. So far, pay attention. Use the credit card money to start your business. Sozo sent you a check that you weren't getting before. You took the money from Sozo, you paid your credit card. Now you've got another stream of income helping you pay off the credit card, don't you? Now, all we got to do is increase your check home from Sozo, and not only can you continue to pay the monthly minimum payment you've been paying, but let's tack on top of that a couple hundred dollars, or maybe, who knows, $1,000 you make from Sozo, put it on top of that amount. Now what are you doing? Think about it. What are you paying now for your monthly minimum? You're paying $50. What if all of a sudden you can put an addition to that $50, you can put $150. Now you're spending $200. Wouldn't you get your credit card paid off faster? It wouldn't take long before you'd be able to say, man, Sozo paid off my credit card. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? So let's go ahead and use your credit card and get your business started. And then I just go ahead and get it to fill out paperwork. And then what I'll do is, imagine, so, hey, how do you spell your last name? And with my friend, I would just start filling out the paperwork. One thing that I do is I always assume the sale. I always assume the sale. I just assume the sale. I'm not hesitant. I know that they're going to sign up. And until they absolutely unequivocally tell me they're not going to sign up, I'm going to sign them up. I'm always going to assume the sale. Now, here's the hard part for a lot of you. The hard part for a lot of you is because you haven't had the level of success that you want and the expectations that maybe you set yourself haven't been met, then it makes it hard for you to do what I'm saying because you're allowing your own personal situation to impact the new person that's coming in. One thing that's very, very important, never transfer your own personal financial situation. Never transfer your own success or lack thereof in the business. Never transfer, most importantly, your doubt onto new people. Because you could be stealing an opportunity of a lifetime from them and ultimately from you. So think about it. I walk in the door. I'm just a 25-year-old guy. I'm looking for an opportunity. I'm frustrated. And you sit down with me at the end, and you're hesitant to ask me to start at $1,200 or start at $700, and I say I don't have any money, and you're afraid to go through the credit card close and all the clothes I'm teaching you because you haven't had as much success as you want to, so you're kind of like, well, when do you think you can have the money? And I say, I don't know. Maybe I could give half in 2 weeks when I get paid, and maybe I can give half in the next 2 weeks, and then that never really happens, and something comes up, and something always does, and that's why I believe you got to get them started now. Something will always come up in the next 2 weeks, and in the next 2 weeks. The odds of somebody paying in 2 weeks is highly unlikely. The only person that's probably going to do that is a fall personnel. So if they don't do it fairly quickly, in the first 24, 48, 72 hours, every hour that goes after that is highly unlikely they're ever getting it. So you are basically losing somebody who could become something incredible because of your own personal situation. Don't let your own personal situation affect somebody else's situation. That's why you always have to step to the table. How many people do you have in the group? How much do you make a month? Step to the table. That's the attitude you got to have. Because honestly, you know that if you're making $25,000 a month, you would have no problem taking that credit card from that person. You're never going to get the $25 a month sitting around. You're afraid to take that credit card from that person. So you got this close. You know that if they do the work, I never feel bad. Listen, if somebody doesn't make money in this business, it's not my fault. It's not the company's fault. It's the person's fault. They're not doing it. That's why I always laugh when people say, but I got these people who say, I was in a company before and I got a garage full of products. Well, how did it get there? Who put it there? Did somebody just sneak into your garage and place it How did it get there? You picked it up and put it there. Did you ever think about selling the product? Well, I couldn't sell. Why couldn't you sell? Well, nobody would buy it. How many people show it? People are riddled with excuses after excuses after excuses. It's never anybody's fault. It's not. That's what people do. It's not my fault. They're standing there with a loaded gun. Smoke's coming at it. I didn't do it. They bumped into my hand and went off, and then somehow it magically appeared. That's what people do. Excuse. So, you go through the clothes, you one smoking enclosure after the product, and get this done as fast as you can. But the only reason why this matters is because it's part of the process. Of course, you want to get somebody in, you want to get products in their hands, you want to throw them and put in their refrigerator, you want to start using it, and you want to start duplicating. But even if somebody cannot do steps 1 and 2, it doesn't matter. Because what's the most important step? 3 and 4. But 3 is free. Remember that. 3 is free. So after the credit card call, so I go through the credit card, they say, and we go through that, and the Lord says, no, I don't have a credit card. What's next? I go to savings. So I start with credit card. After credit card, I go to savings. Now remember, somebody says the credit cards are maxed out. You turn around and say, man, we got to help get your credit card paid off, don't we? That goal that we add to the split, so-and-so is going to help you carry out your credit card. Let's put that on the list of things you want to do in accomplishing your goal. How about savings? Man, I don't have any savings. Wow, really? You have no savings? We got work to do. We got to help you get some savings. That's got to be a goal for us, helping you build the savings. You want savings, don't you? Terrific. We're going to help you to do that. Or if they say, yeah, I got savings, but I can't use it. Why can't you use it? Well, that's where emergency approaches. And this isn't an emergency. I mean, don't you want more in savings account than this? Well, let me ask a question. How did you plan on getting involved in paying for it? Well, I was going to pay for it in 2 weeks and I got my check. Perfect. Let's go ahead and use the savings today. In 2 weeks, you can just take the money from the check that we can use to start the business. Go back to the savings. You can do that, can't you? I mean, if you're serious about the business, wait 2 weeks, put it back in the savings. That wouldn't be a problem. See, that's how you know when people are lying. If somebody won't do that, they ain't telling you. That makes perfect sense. You can start today with your savings and put the money back in the check that you were going to get started in the business, put that back in the check. You can do that. Same thing when someone says, I'll tell you a funny story. I was doing a training in Michigan, and there was a guy there who had a lady, and she was talking to the table, and she was going, yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here tomorrow. It was Friday night. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. And I said to her, well, then go ahead and register. I said, you've got a credit card to put it on. Don't you? She goes, I do. I have nothing on that credit card. No balance, and I don't want to use it. I said, well, how are you going to pay the money? She goes, cash. So I said, well, you can sign up tonight, use the credit card, take the cash you have, and just pay off your credit card. You can do that, can't you? She says, yeah, but no, I don't want to do that. I just want to pay cash. Oh, so basically, you're telling me you ain't coming. You're just not coming. No, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. So I said, okay, well, we'll see. Won't. So she walked away, and then the guy who brought her there was talking to her. And they were talking like 20 minutes. So finally, I was ready to leave. And I wanted to get something to eat from this guy. I was there with the guy. So I walked up, both of them, they were standing, there were some other people standing around. I said, are you guys still talking about her coming tomorrow? I said, his name is Chuck. I said, Chuck, she is not coming. Let's go. She is not coming tomorrow. And so she goes, yes, I am. I'm coming tomorrow. You're not coming. And so he turns around and says, I think she's coming. He goes, I think she is coming, Greg. I think she is. I said, you want a wage? Right in front of him. I said, you want to place a wage? And he says, yeah, I'll place a wage. I said, okay. How about this? Tomorrow night we're going out. Listen, you can bottom line this and go out to eat. If you're right, she comes here tomorrow morning, she registers and you're the train, I'll pick up the tab. If she don't come in the morning, then you pick up the tab. He goes, all right, we should have gone right in front of us. I gave her every opportunity in the world. Shipped on it. But I knew this wasn't coming. So I shipped on it. I was like, all right. So next day, of course, you know, the guy, Chuck, is sitting there, and she's not there, and he's looking around and hopes she's coming, and somebody else, he asked, is she there? I'm like, she ain't coming, buddy. You're paying tonight. And I told that story all day long. I kept coming back to that. It's like, you just know. You just, after a while, you get a vibe. You just know when people are lying. But there was no way she was coming back. Because if she was, she would have paid. That's all. She would have paid. That's what she did. So, go for savings. After savings, the next thing you go for is you ask, listen, how about a 401k? Do you have a 401k? You'd be amazed how many people have 401k and they don't even know they can borrow money from them. But you can borrow money from a 401k, and you can actually pay it back within 60 days. You won't even have your tax implications. But the reality is, even if you did pay it back, what would be your tax implications? Because starting to do this kind of stuff, so tax deduction. So you'd actually probably be saving money. What a lot of people don't realize is when you start a business like this, the IRS is really paying for your business. Because if you're a W-2 employee, you're paying taxes above what you should be paying. So as soon as you start this business, you're basically going to get the money back from the IRS, which is going to pay for your business anyway. So I tell you, the IRS is going to pay to start your business. Because just in the tax deductions alone, do you realize how much money you write off in this business? It's incredible. You could take your whole family to Hawaii. Watch this. You can take your family to Hawaii on vacation in the sense that you're going to start a team in Hawaii. And while you're in Hawaii, you're going to co-recruit. You're going to talk to people, you're going to show them videos. You might even sign some people up. Your whole trip's a rental. Listen, if I go to Hawaii and I look to start a franchise in another city, and I go there and look at property and all that tax deduction, I've been doing this for a long time. You look at the code, read the code, understand the code about home-based business, you can write off a portion of your home. You can have an area in your home that you work out in your home. Now, you can't write off your whole home. You've got to write off the square footage that you use. But once you divide the square footage of what you use, you can divide it into every bill you have, your electric bill, your gas bill. You can divide it into and believe me, I use some of the best CPAs there are. I have accountants and attorneys that I pay a lot of money. And I'm telling you, as a home-based business owner, will get amazing tax deductions. Legitimate tax deductions that will pay for your business, basically what it's doing. Now, obviously, the IRS is not striking a check for your business, but if you understand what the tax advantages are of having a home-based business, at the end of the day, you're saving a ton of money. And if you don't have one, you're a W-2 employee, you definitely pay more taxes than somebody who has deductions. Now, I'm not a big fan of having to go through all because the pain in the neck. You got to keep receipts. For some of you who are on the coaching calls that I do, you got to have your envelopes. You got to have a receipt. You got to write down every receipt. Where were you? Who you were with? What you discussed? You got to do that. What I suggest do is get a book, a calendar book at the very least, and write down everything you do. Write down where you went, who you were with, because if you ever get audited, having a book that tracks everything and you could show them, and you can match it up with the receipts, that's going to be a challenge for them. The reason why the IRS a lot of times wins cases is because people have nothing. They have case deductions coming in, and they don't have anything to back it up. You've got to keep good records. Same thing with your mom. You just got to keep good records. You just got to keep good records. But it's legit. You get those deductions. So when people sign into this business, they'll get those benefits of having a home-based business. But that's why I say on your tax side of it, on the 401k, put the money back within 60 days, you don't have any tax implications. However, if you don't, again, you're probably looking at making more money in terms of rate of return and speed, more money in the business than you would if money was doing the 401k. So, we had a guy in his family, kind of Richard Jimenez. He had $30,000 in 401k. He said, man, it has been growing a lot. And he came up to me after we discussed the Caesar Pass program, and he just couldn't. He didn't have the money. He said, I could borrow money out of my 401k. He's like, he didn't even know that. A lot of people don't even know what their rights are in relation to their own money in their 401k. So that's an option. So sometimes people will if they say, man, I really want to do this. I want to get some inventory. I want to make this thing happen. And they want to do $1,200, but they don't have the money. That is an option if they have their 401k. Now, let's go beyond that. Well, what's left? They could borrow. Obviously, what's left? Borrow from people. Like I didn't have a 401k. So I borrowed from my mom. You could borrow from people. And you can work it out the same way. You can pay people back, and you can work out a schedule to pay them back. But you go through this whole process because I'm telling you, if you don't go through that process and all you do is rely on them to one day get it, that isn't going to work well. then it's going to work well. Everything I'm teaching you is because of my own personal experience. You know, when people say, oh, I'll have it in 2 weeks. No, they're not. Very slim chance that's going to happen. So, once you go through this step and you go through the whole process, credit card saving, 401k, borrowing money, once you go through all of that, once they say, listen, I'll try to borrow it, or I'll see what I can do, or I'll talk to my dad, or I'll talk to my brother, all you can do at that point is accept that, set up a specific time to hear back from them, and move on to step three, which is the most important step when somebody first gets involved, because this right here makes signing people up and getting them products and giving their money, all that's going to do anyway is probably, which isn't a bad thing, but they may not be ready for it, is it makes them nervous because they've invested money now. The thing that they need to see in order to make them not nervous and to get them excited is what?
Potential.
So they need potential. That's where this comes from. That's why it's the most important thing. Three is free. So if somebody can't do any order, they can't sign up, they have no money, I'm going right to content. It's so funny to me how many people sit down with somebody, they say they have no money, you go through all the objections, you don't get any money from them, and then you go, okay, we'll see you next time. And that's it. See, to me, it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to get money out of people. I'm trying to start them in their business. I don't care about this because all this is going to pay you is a commission. If somebody comes in and you bring them in and they do a $4.99 pack, you set it yourself, you make $70. Obviously, that could potentially trigger some other bonuses on your binary plan, right? But all that is one commission. If they don't place an auto ship, they don't bring any people, they do nothing else, you make $70. Is that why you're in this business?
No.
To make one deal, one sale for $70. So what you got to keep in mind is that's why this doesn't matter to me. This is where the money is. And I love what people were saying yesterday about this is your inventory. It's your people. That's the key. The key is that. Number three, it's free. So if somebody won't sit down and make a list, they don't really want to do the business because it doesn't even cost them nothing. That's when you sit down, help them make a list, and help them make calls. If you're at your meetings at the hotel, at the end of the hotel, if I came and worked with you, we signed people up. I'm not talking about a weekend seminar. Because in a weekend seminar, we're not doing it. We're trying to get into the training, right? Like every time that I come, we come on a Friday night, my objective is to get into the training. So I'm not sitting around trying to get them in the business. I'm trying to get them in the training. If I was here, and I was working the business, and on a Tuesday night, you had a meeting at a hotel or wherever it was, at the end of the meeting, I'm going to do exactly what I'm showing. I'm going to go through the four steps. We're going to go through the four steps tonight. Let's go get you started. You want to start fast, you want to start slow, you want to start fast. You want to start under $1,200, you want to start under $700. Which would you prefer? Ask the question, be quiet. After that, I go through all the closes. If they do it, great. If they don't do it, go through all the objective closes. Then we go to the next step. Say, great, let's go to step three. Let's go ahead and fill out your contact list. Put the contact list in front of them. They stare at the contact list. They don't put names on the contact list. I say, no problem. Hey, let's do it together. And then I draw a couple circles on a piece of paper. I say, who are two people you'd like to work with? I'd like to work with Neil and Kim. And then I go through that whole thing, back and forth. We do that. I say, great, let's call Neil and Kim right now and get on the phone. I make phone calls right now. It is so amazing today in this day and age. I can't imagine when I was building my business back then if I had the tools that are available today, like cell phones.
Yeah.
Cell phones. Like when I got started in business, you know when cell phone came like in a suitcase. You have to like carry it around. You know, and then when you got a car phone, it is crazy how things were and how people in general think, even myself. I remember when I got my first car phone, and I was like, right, I'm somebody. I got a car phone. Like car phone was like status at one point.
Yeah.
Like if you had one of those antennas sticking out, like people would put those on their cars even though they didn't have a cell phone. Because it's status, you know what I mean? Like I'm gonna put one up there and people are gonna think I have a car phone. And you used to have it mounted, you know,
yeah.
Like a car phone was mounted. Man, my car phone bill was $3,000 a month. Seriously, man. It was like everything like a different amount. Like one coffee, 70 cents, another coffee, like $4.85. I mean, it would show you how, like, if you talk a long time with people, you could pay $20, $30 for a coffee. So,
wow.
I mean, that was a crazy time back then. Oh, my goodness. So, the reality is, you have to have a landline. Like, when I would help people make phone calls, I had to have a place for people to make calls. Now you can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
What an advantage. What an advantage. Like, I had an office. I had to have an office. So I could have a landline so you could sit down and make calls. Or I had to go to someone's house. Now I can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. So when you're at your meeting, you can sit down in the corner, fill out your paperwork, and boom. You have clipboards, have some clipboards, have your paperwork, do your list. I mean, I used to have 5, 10 clipboards with me, man. If I was signing 3, 4, 5 people, I gave them a clipboard with paperwork on it, have them fill it out. It'd already be ready to go. My clipboard was ready to go. Why was my clipboard ready to go? Because I expect to do business. Don't you think McDonald's expects to sell hamburgers? Don't you think Walmart expects people to show up? Walk into a store. That's another good thing I used to do with distributors that were like hesitant on getting inventory. I used to take them to stores. I'll say, hey, let's take a ride. Let's go grab something. I'll take somebody out, and I'll walk into Home Depot. And I'll say, what are you seeing? What do you think? What do you mean? What do they have on the shelf? They have tons of inventory. How much do you think they got? Tens of millions of dollars, huh? Let's go to Walmart. What do they got? How would you like to be anywhere close to the success that these stores have? Well, don't you think you need some inventory there? I mean, you got to get these. Remember what I said? This is about exposing people to a new way of thinking. They're not used to owning a business. They're not used to running a business. They're not used to being an entrepreneur. They don't think like an entrepreneur. That's why you got to help them think differently. So you pick up the phone. You help them make a few phone calls. Now what? Now they have potential. Now they've got a couple of people looking at the video. Now maybe there's a couple of appointments you set up. They have potential. So once you do that, you've got a couple of names, you've got a couple of people, you've got a couple of calls being made. What's left? Training. Well, if they already agreed to do under 1,200, under 7, you already signed them up for the advanced program. You already got them filled out the form for that done. What's the next step? Whatever the next step is. What is the next step? When did you sign them up? Monday's the conference call. Wednesday's the product call. You got videos to show. You got audio to show. You got Saturday training that you do. You have access to all these other things. You sit down for one-on-one, go through the back office, start training people. Training is not just this seminar. That's too long. That's 5 weeks away. You got to start training your people right away. 24 hours, man. You can set another time. Let's get back together. Let's start working on your business. Now, here's the nice part. This, what you have to do, doesn't last forever. It lasts until you get momentum. Once you start getting momentum going, you won't have to do it. Because you'll develop other leaders that do it. And then once you do that, you're done. It's a process. That's why I tell you, commit to 5 years. Commit to 5 years. If you do the business right and you focus right, you'll be done. You won't be doing it. Like, once I do the business for 5 years, I've been in 3 companies. I've taken the same philosophy every time. Obviously, I've done it faster each time. The first year was 5 years. The second time I was in my second company, I did it in 3 years. The third company, I did it in 2 years. I did that really fast. But within 2 years of time, I duplicated at least a dozen people that were also at the top spot in the company, and I didn't do anything. I was retired. I didn't get on conference calls, didn't do meetings, didn't do trainings, didn't do anything. So everyone else did that. I didn't do training. Just like, I try to tell you all the time, like, I'm not going to be doing super success training for solo in 24 months or less. Somebody else will be doing it. Some of you will be doing it. Because you'll be good enough to do it. Hey, Dave already volunteered in the hallway. It's a phone call.
Right.
Did you say that?
That's right.
Yeah, well, I took that seriously. So he can do it. You know, then I don't have to do it. And I love that because he has a passion to want to do it. It's not that I have a passion to do it, but I'm more passionate to watch other people do it. That's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about watching other people. And nothing makes me happy to see 1,000 people in the room, me sitting way in the back, you know, and watch him work. That's what you think. You know? That's what I would do. I'd love for you to call me up and say, Greg, there are 1,000 people here, man. I am going to rock this weekend. This is going to be the most incredible weekend. And you're so excited. And I go, and then you say to me, so what are you doing? I'm playing golf. You're in the middle of my shot, all right? You'll have a great weekend. I'm not afraid. I'm happy for you, man. I want you to do it. Good for you. Everybody wins. But you really just need to understand that if you take people through this process and you duplicate the process, you won't have to do it forever. Well, a lot of times people are afraid of quitting because they go, so much work. Yeah, but it's not forever. It is a lot of work. It is. I agree. But it doesn't last forever. That's the nice part. See, when you work a job, maybe you don't work as hard. Maybe you don't work as long. It depends on the job, of course, that you do. But it lasts forever. I mean, you never get this top. That's why I laugh at people say, is this a get-rich-quick thing? I go, yeah. How many times do you get rich slow? So I say, listen, if it took you 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, to where, think about what the company offers. Let's say it took 7 years from right now. Even longer, about seven. 7 years from right now, the company's paying your car payment, your house payment. They're giving you a bonus. What's that dream bonus after that?
Lifestyle bonus, $7,000.
$7,000 extra, plus your check. What company does it? Go into your job tomorrow. Say, listen, I was at an event this week and they gave me some good ideas. I'm thinking the company should give us a house payment, a car payment, and a $7,000 bonus just to come. When can we start that? They would laugh. They'd be like, okay, what were you smoking this weekend? That's what I say. You're going to work anyway. You're going to work anyway, man. You're going to be out there. You're going to be hustling. You're going to be grinding. You're going to be doing. You're going to work anyway. Why not work at something that can give you that? That's why I look at it. They're going to give you health insurance. They're going to give you life insurance. They're going to take care of all your needs, and they're going to pay you a lot of money. Why isn't that worth working? So people work 10 years, 20 years on a regular job and never get anything. Here, if you work, you're going to work anyway. Why not keep going? Why not build it? Why not see what happens? Stick it out. Go for the next 7, 10 years. I mean, if it took you that long, it wouldn't matter. You still would be getting something that you would never get working your job. So that's why it's funny to me. Like, that's why quitting would never be an option, because they... Because you don't have an alternative. What's your alternative? Someone else is going to give you a house bonus. Someone else is going to give you an extra $7,000 because you might as well just make it work. Stick it out. Do it. So that's the four-step process. That's what you do. All right. Question. Yes.
We have. Went to the little BSW lot after lunch and got out of the car and rode into the car, and this guy came up and he rolled out his window and, oh, are you looking to buy a BMW? And we kind of got back in the car because we had our doors open and couldn't pass us. And so then I thought, well, hey, I'm sorry, we're next to each other and Jake is next to each other. I thought, well, I don't know, Adam, what do I care? So I started asking questions. And long story short, he liked to talk a lot, but anyways, I said, no, actually, I'm trying to earn a BMW. I'm earning a BMW, and I'm halfway there with my company that I work with. And kept asking him questions, and in the long run, when we kind of, you know, wrap it up and get back, asked him where he worked. He said he worked for the airlines, but right now he's retired because of health problems. Next question, more questions, and then the bottom line it was, he's on disability, so obviously, if you're on government disability, you can't have an income earning. And then my last question was, well, what did your wife do? Or, because he mentioned his wife. I said, oh, so what did your wife do? He said, oh, she works over here at Express Scripts, blah, blah, blah. And you know, at that point, you know, Jake and I really got his back. But I just gave him a card and I said, you know, we have some great wellness products. I mean, what else would you do in that?
Yeah, I just think that's way too much information. For you to even be into that point where you could tell you that he has disability, you can't earn money, which means he knows his business. Some way of taking money. I mean, I say is, yeah, there's no problem with what you said in terms of, yeah, you know, I'm actually moving that car because my company is about to give me a car and I got to pick one out. And then make him curious to go, you know, what does your company actually do? Well, great question. We're actually on a lunch break right now from a big event we're having here in town. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing? And you ask if he does all this. Well, you know, I'm actually a recruiter for an international level. And our headquarters is out of Austin, Texas, but we're expanding here in the Minnesota area. I mean, we're growing pretty quick. And we're actually looking for people that want to be part of a fast growing company and want to earn a significant amount of money. Do you keep your options open?
I asked him that.
What did he say?
I think he said, well, I can't work because I'm on the field. And I kept trying to get, like, the questions I asked him, I felt like I was trying to open it up, but he was asking me.
Right, I guess, but you want to do it. So he said, I can't work because I'm on this. Oh, okay, no problem. Let's ask the question. Well, being that, do you know some other people that may be interested in something like this? Well, maybe. Great. And do you have a card? See, I don't just give my card out. It's just what I teach. It only meant, if I don't get his number, the odds of that guy calling you
right. Is
so remote.
I think I was a little stuffed when he was just like, well, I'm not in the building, so I can't make any money.
Yeah, but what about referrals? You're not looking at the bars, you're looking at the truth.
Yeah,
see, right there, it's a perfect example. You're looking at him. I don't care. What if you know somebody? Who did you know? What's the point of trying to have a conversation with somebody if there's not going to be any intense production? You looked at that guy, as soon as he threw up a roadblock and said, I can't work. You didn't know. You know. That's how you branch it up. It doesn't matter. Some of the best people I've ever gotten into the industry are not people that were shown to this. They were people that were shown to this and said no. Let somebody say no. And that's how it works. So the fact that he can't do it, he cares. He might know the best person that you ever could get entertaining. But you're looking at the tree instead of the forest. But I don't even know them. All I want to do is just get his number. Even if they'll say, this is what I do all the time. I'll teach this all the time. I'll say, if I'm talking to them, they say they love their job. So I'm out recruiting. And they say, man, I love what I do. I mean, this is the best job I've had in the world. And they say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a national recruiter, or I'm a recruiter for an international wellness company. I mean, we've got a phenomenal line of natural and healthy products that are unlike anything else in the market. I mean, you drink coffee. Do you know people that drink coffee? Sure. Well, we got the healthiest cup of coffee. Not only flavor, but health. And that's great. But my primary role, because the company's located in Austin, Texas, my primary role is we're building a sales organization here in Minnesota. And we're looking for people that want to be part of a fast-growing company, earn a significant amount of money. Do you know any people like that? That's what you should have asked. Do you know any people like that? See, it's not just about them. It's always about, and then maybe he would have said me, or maybe he would have said no, or maybe he would have said yes. I don't know. But I don't look at the person. I don't look at the person. A lot of the people that you talk to are not going to be the people that get in the business. They're going to be the people that lead you to something that gets you in the business. One of the best people I ever had. I mean, a young kid named Russell Levine, I didn't know him. I got a girl out of high school. You know, a girl named Lucette Marcel, introduced me to Rich, introduced me to Ed, introduced me to Michelle, introduced me to Michael, introduced me to Russell Levine. All these people quit. All these people, they didn't do it. He did. And he earned me $10,000 a month. I mean, this business did almost, you know, $150,000 a month. I don't look at the person. I look at who they know. If the person decides to do it, great. But I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Who do they know? And most people in this industry get so caught up in the person. Like, when I'm looking at somebody, I ain't looking at them. I'm looking at all the people they know. I don't even care so much about them. If they decide to do it, great. If they don't decide to do it, I don't care. I'm looking at who they know. I look like this. I don't look at this. I look at this. They're one person. They are sitting on top of this. That's what they're sitting on top of. These are their contacts. You're looking at this. I'm looking at this. Because I know one, lead me to 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 two, so one. That's just how I look at it. So the conversation is, it's like you're getting stuck on them. Some of the best, and then you'll have some of the best relationships that can lead to some of the best people because you look so much at them. You never focus on who they are. You know so many people. You're just not asking. Oh, that person said no, and then you move on. You're just wasting all the potential. You're wasting all the potential that's right there in front of you. And all you got to do is ask. You'll have to say no. Listen, I don't care if somebody says no. When somebody says no, I just go to the next person. I mean, I can tell you story after story. Somebody down here said no. Next person said yes. Man, I turned all these people up to death. All of them. I started with somebody at the bottom and lit everybody up. Just go one after another. That's what I do. If somebody's not interested, go listen. You want to see me do well with this, don't you? Complete strangers will say yes. A complete stranger that looked at my video or looked at my business and says, no, I'm not going to do this. They say, well, you want to see me do well, don't you? They'll say yes. Who do you know? Just one person. One person think I'd be a good business. I don't know anybody. You don't know anybody? What do you mean you don't know anybody? You don't know anybody that's health conscious. You don't know anybody that works at a health club. You don't know anybody that's a chiropractor. You don't know anybody that likes to work out. You know anybody like that? One person? Do you hear how I use my tone here? That's what's powerful. One of the most advanced programs I do, it's not even within the season pass. You say, although you get a discount if you go to it, called Stage Presence. I mean, I spend hours upon hours upon hours working with people to help them to get their tones right, to help them to get the inflections in their voice right, so that when they say things, that it comes out in a way that is so moving to people. Because it's not just what I'm saying. Remember, how much percentage is words in communication? 7%. So you can say verbatim what I'm saying, exactly what I'm saying, and you're still... That's 7%. It's facial expression, the body language, and tonality. You don't know anybody?
Yeah. Can I ask an advertising contact question?
Sure.
Okay, so we have our lead capture page, and I have a personal website that I've gotten leads from that. And, when I call, I'm pretty much, you know, you requested information, what can I do for you? And most of the time they're like, well, you know, tell me more about your opportunity. And I say, well, to direct you to the right information, let me ask you some questions first. And I ask them, you know, have you ever been in a home-based business before, this, that, and the other? And these conversations, like, people love to talk about themselves. So they can, you know, last a little while, and I end up knowing more about the people than I really want to know, but that's not the point. When I get to, you know, wanting to talk to them about basically directing them to the 7-minute video, I say, well, look, this is what I want to do. I want to send you this information, have you look at it, and then we'll follow up. I know now, after you've talked earlier about objections, you know, how to do better with some of the objections, but I have people who I'm still following up with who have not looked at the information I've sent them. Like, so these... They showed interest by filling out this lead capture page, and they've expressed their needs in terms of their dissatisfaction and why they're looking for an opportunity. And should I talk about the company maybe and about the opportunity as I have them on the phone, or should I just get them to the 7-minute video and learn a better way to communicate more urgency? Like, just from that, could you dissect a little bit about maybe what I'm doing wrong?
People like that. A lot of people fill out a lot of capture pages.
Yeah.
So you ain't the only capture page filling out. You know, they go online and fill out the capture pages, and then they don't do it. Then, like you said, they look for people to talk to, telling you about all they're doing. If these people were good, they wouldn't be filling out lead capture pages. That's what you got to know that first of all. Good people ain't filling out lead capture pages. That's why the best people. I'm not saying you can't buy people off of these caps page because it's a secondary rule, but your best people are going to come from meeting somebody who needs somebody who needs somebody like that. Now, some forms of advertising, like me, when I advertise, I don't do a lot of lead programs. I do more straight advertising. Like, I do, like, I'll do career builder. I'll put resumes. I'll find people that are actually looking for a job. And the reason why I'll do that is because even though that person may not be interested, because they want a salary and they want benefits and all this stuff, I'm going to find somebody in there that is sick and tired of corporate America, that hates their job, and would love to find another way of this own to go over. A lot of times, those people on the lead cast page have been in so many things, man. They've done
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
And why? So the problem you have with those people is they're not going to be loyal to your dealing.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you they know everything. They're going to do sometimes more of a headache than anything. You have to go to speed. You're spending way too much time. Again, how many people do you have in your group right now?
In my group?
Yeah.
Like under me?
Yeah.
Nine.
How many?
Nine.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
I thought you had 5,000.
Oh, sorry. That's so bad.
Sure about you.
And how much money do you make a month?
$25,000.
That's right. And you have that much time to sit on the phone and talk with people that are answering the capture page?
Oh, gosh. So long.
I don't have that kind of time. I'm making $25,000 a month. Let me tell you what my conversations are. Hey, got your information on the lead capture page? Just got a couple quick questions for you, and then I'll fill you in on exactly what we need to do next. Ask a few questions, what are you currently doing? You're not working, you're working, what experience you have? Great, okay. Listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a link to an orientation video. It's going to give you all the information about the company. It's very short, it's 7 minutes. That's how I'll know if you're serious. If you watch it, obviously you'll get back in touch with me. I got a lot going on, I got a lot of calls to make. So I'm going to send you the video. When do you think you'll be able to watch the video? I'll be able to watch by 3 o'clock today. Okay, so should I expect to hear back from you about, 3:15? Great. If I hear back from you at 3:15, we'll move forward. If I don't, maybe we'll follow up. Maybe I won't. The ball's in your court. Okay, I got to go. I got a ton more calls. Hang on a second. Hang on. Oh, sorry about that. It's my phone. Burning up. Make sure you take a listen. Make sure you watch. Hang on. Sorry. Okay, sorry about that. Listen, I gotta run, take a look at the video, and then that'll give you an orientation of what we're doing, get back. Alright, bye. See, people, when you have all that time to sit around and talk, you ain't got nothing going on. You ain't that busy. That's what I'm saying. You think Bill Gates has time to sit around, hey, they're busy people, man. You're busy. You're busy. I'm always busy. I don't have time to either. I got a text from somebody today about something, about explaining something to somebody about some insurance product or whatever. I said, I'm not going to call them. Have them call the company. I don't answer questions about the product. You know what I mean? That's the attitude you have to have. And who's to say you can't have that attitude? Why can't you have that attitude? Does that person know what you earn? Does that person know where you are in the company? Does that person know you are the top person in the company? No, they only know how you act and what you tell them. You got to fear a loss, man. When you're talking that long, you're begging. You may not be saying I'm begging, but you are. You're listening to them when they go through all. I don't have time for all that.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you're looking for an opportunity. You landed on my lead capture page. I don't care what you used to do or what you used to be and how you used to do it. It don't matter to me because you're on my lead capture page. If you were all that, you wouldn't be on my lead capture page. If you were that successful, you wouldn't be on my lead capture page. That's why I laugh. I was on the phone with a guy. I represent a company. And they used me as a consultant because all the people that want to come in to the business who are network marketers. Right? So the guy was on the phone. I got on the phone. He said, and he was winter. This guy was winter off the charts. And I said, let's cut to the chase. What are you looking for? And he said, two things. I need a spot in the company that's higher up. I'm going to bring a team over. I need a spot in the company that's going to give me a higher position in order to benefit other people I bring over. The second thing is I need a $10,000 signing bonus. I need a $10,000 signing bonus. I said, well, I can tell you one thing. It is possible you can get a higher position and get started, so if you're bringing over the team, the company will probably work with you and help you do that. But I can assure you, they're not paying anybody any money to come and join our company. That ain't going to happen. Well, then I guess I won't be coming over, and it looks like you have a really good opportunity, and I've already shown some of the people on my team, and it looks like, you won't be doing it. And I said, yeah, that's probably fine. We wish you all the luck in the world. And then we got off the phone. Now, the funny part is what I told this guy who set up that call, I said, think about this guy right here. First of all, if he's that good and he makes that much money, who would be on the phone with him? Because he's still, why would he be... That's number one. Number two, he's asking for $10,000. If his business is that good, he'd be asking for $100,000. He'd be asking for $1,000,000. $10,000? You're worth $10,000. You're that good. Are you kidding me? See? And I said, you know what we just did? He thinks he fell in love with us. And that's what happens. People smart. He thinks by getting off the phone with us like he did, he thinks we're going to go back and talk. Like, you know, maybe we can do it. Maybe we can do $10,000. No. I guarantee you, that guy right there, he's going to call back for the next 2 weeks, and he's going to change his mind. If he wants to do the business, he's not going to get that $10,000. He's still going to do it. That's the attitude you got to have. You're in control. I used to want to ask the payroll. It's $20,000 a month. My ass said $20,000 a month. Last month, I earned in excess of $20,000 for 1 month's work. I'm looking for three people that want to do the same. Serious inquiries only. Then I get people calling me up. How funny is this? People call me up on the phone. I'd answer the phone. Hello, can I help you? Yeah, I'm calling about the ad that I saw in the newspaper. Great. And who am I speaking with, please? Well, before I give you my name, tell me what it's all about. Excuse me? What ad are you responding to? The one that says $20,000 a month. Okay? And let me ask a question. Are you currently making $20,000 a month? Well, no. Okay, so let's start over. Okay, because I am the one that placed the ad. I'll be asking the questions to you. Now, are you interested in making $20,000 a month? Well, yeah. Great. Can I have your name, please? And then they would give me their name. I mean, it's like you got to take control over the situation. You're in charge. You have an opportunity of a lifetime. You're not desperate. You're successful. That what will happen is people are going to gravitate. The reason why a lot of you have a tough time with science is because you have doubts. You have doubts. You don't have confidence. You don't believe. It's like you want it to work. And so you're, and then you start trying to convince people. And once you get into convince mode, that backs people off. Think about it. The busier you are, the more people want to talk. Women know this is true. When the guy who was always calling, bringing you stuff, sending you stuff, on all around your locker, always talking to you. Then you had the other guy that wasn't always the one there. They were cordial and nice and said hello. What's the guy you want? The guy who wasn't calling you all the time. I mean, it's kind of funny how we are. So you've got to take it away. You're busy. And I'm not kidding about putting people on hold like that. I do that. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. Oh, man, my phone's going crazy. I got to go. Watch the video. You had a question, sir?
No, I was just going to say in my day job, we have those lead captured, and every, even with our training, the experts say the very best they'll do on them, the very best is getting appointments out of 30% of them. And then only 10% will show up.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't get quality. Your best quality people are certainly going to be through the warm market, not just your own warm market, but other people's warm market. No doubt about it, the best people come with them. But like I said, lead capture pages aren't as good as a clean lease, a clean ad. Because you're not dealing with somebody that, those lead capture, they do a lot of deals. I guarantee you those people are telling you all the deals they've done, all the business they built, all the money they've made. Why are you on my lead capture page? You don't say that, but you know. That's why you're urged. Say, listen, I can appreciate all of that. Look, right now our company's growing at a rapid. Hang on a second. Sorry about that, man. My phone is burning up right now. I got people getting involved left and right, and I'm building a team right now, and I got people. I mean, I got people. Listen, hang on. Okay, listen, here's what you need to do. I'm going to send you a link to a video. Watch the video, check out the video. If it's good for you, give me a call back. If not, that's totally fine. Oh, hang on a second. Hey, listen, Bob, I got to go. Watch the video, okay? If you're interested, come and call me. I mean, you can't be having a long time. So just, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time.
Thank you.
It's all about bursts, right? Bursts. Your time is extremely valuable. And, you know, as your business really grows and as you grow into that $25,000 a month, you'll laugh. You'll laugh because you'll realize that everything I'm telling you right now that to do, you'll be doing because of what you're doing. Like, your phone really will be melting down. Like, when I'm doing trainings, man, my phone is ridiculous. Like, I'll get off and I'll be backed up. I'll have 15 texts. I'll have, you know, countless voicemails. People will send me emails going, why are you ignoring me? When you don't have nothing going on, obviously you don't have that problem. But you got to see yourself in that problem. You got to act accordingly. I'm going to say, act accordingly. Act as you expect to receive. Act as you expect to receive. You don't act like you expect to receive, you won't receive. Because the business is really simplistic. It's simplistic. The biggest problem in the business is not the business itself, it's not what the understanding of the business, it's the individual people in the business. And because when you look at everything in relation to business, you got a binary plan. Like, you structure your business. I mean, it's not hard. Right, in a binary plan, you've got a left side and a right side. You just stay outside left, outside right. When you build a binary plan, you stay outside, outside, outside. And obviously, you put people on the opposite side of whatever level is stronger, right? So, if you've got $2,000 in volume over here, and you've got $200 in volume over here, where should you put people? On your left. And if this eventually goes to where this is now 3,000 over here and 2,000 over here, where do you put people?
Right.
On your left. And you just keep going outside, outside. Don't build inside. Don't build inside because you're ruining the potential and the momentum that you're creating this leg. It's not your job to build two legs for anybody in here. It's not really your job to build one leg for a few more. That's why I don't talk about spillover and things like that, because not everyone's going to get the spillover. If you talk about getting a power leg going, like a lot of times people say, my power leg, I'm going to put a bunch of people underneath, you got to be careful in that. Because if you got somebody above you who's really, really good, who can put people underneath you, but then you go sponsor somebody and they end up over here and over here, and let's say this person over here, they got this person above them, and this person over here isn't putting people underneath them, they have to build two legs. They're not going to get a power leg. How are they going to get a power leg? If this person is a great recruiter, and they're putting people down here and down here, well, this person over here, this person's out, this person's out, this person's in, well, this person's not putting people over there. And this person not put people over there, so they got to do it themselves and build two legs. That's why I never tell people that they're going to get a power leg. They're going to get, that's not duplicated. You got to build two legs. That's what I tell them. Build two legs. If by chance you can get people underneath you, hey, get on your knees and thank God. And you're not getting people. You got to build two legs. That's what you got to do. You got to build two legs. That's not too much to ask. You got to build two legs. You got to get something going strong on your left. You got to get something strong on your right. Now, you might got to recruit more than two people to do that. You might got to recruit 100 people to find the right person on your left. I don't know. That's why you have to find the first two people of people that run and do it. That's how you know. So, on a binary plan, outside left, outside right. Whatever's the weaker leg, put people over there. If it's flip-flops, go the other side. But don't build on the inside. Now, once you're making through God the money, if you want to do something like that, hey, man, that's different. But when, but in terms of teach them what you do, especially when you're building your business, stay outside left, outside right. You don't know what goo gobs are? A lot. Goo gobs, a lot. Do you have any questions about how you can structure your business? Let's see how well you know the pay plan. Ready? Okay, so you get started, you're a distributor. What's the first position above distributor? Builder. The first position is above a builder. How do you become a builder? What now?
One on each side.
Not two.
Well, I mean, two on each side.
Right. One on each side. How much does your order have to be? At least 50. Right? At least 50, you become a builder.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I got this thing up here. It says, to become and maintain the rank of builder, you must be active, 50 PB, and have two personally sponsored active distributors regardless of placement in the qualification period.
Right, so they don't have to be on your left or right, which means you're not binary qualified if you're a builder.
Right.
Potential.
Right.
Okay.
So that was a little different.
Right.
But
so you could be, what it's saying is that you could be a builder by sponsoring two people. They could both be in the same leg. And obviously, as long as they're active, which is 50 PV, then you're a builder. What's above builder? Next. What's next? Bronze?
Bronze.
Bronze is next. Bronze, do you need to be binary qualified?
Yes, binary
okay,
qualified.
Okay, binary qualified. Does that mean at least 50 PV or higher?
50.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, to be binary qualified, you have to have somebody on your left, somebody on your right, that has at least a $50 PV order. That makes you binary qualified. So you have that. What else do you got to have? What else?
Auto-ship.
To be a bronze. You got to
have
auto-ship? How many think you have to have auto-ship?
No.
Order in the last 4 weeks.
You have to have an auto-ship in the last 4 weeks? It doesn't have to be an auto-ship?
Correct. It says, to become and maintain the rank of bronze, you must be active, binary qualified, and must have at least 500 weeks leg volume in the bonus period.
Now, how many of you in here are bronze? Okay, great. Some of you are bronze, and you don't even know how you got to bronze. Come on, you got to know this stuff inside and out. What if we were at Millionaire Mentality Boot Camp? These are the kinds of questions that bring you up in front of the room. We bring you in front of the room and say, here's a microphone. Tell us how you get promoted from distributor to goal. You have 2 minutes. See, but you say you want to make a lot of money. How do you not? You gotta know the pay plan. Okay, so how much volume you gotta have?
500.
500 in your left volume, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, you gotta have to be a bronze. Let's go through this because not enough of you in here are bronze. Everyone in here needs to be a bronze.
It's just January.
And higher. How many of you want to get the BMW? Hey. Okay. So let's strategize that. Because you can't achieve something you don't know how to achieve. And like I said, you've got to take one step at a time. So let's go over this and show you how to achieve. Okay? So we already know builder. Break it down and show you how to do it. Alright. So, to be a bronze, you've got to have a left and a right, correct?
Right.
You got to have at least $50 over here and $50 over here in terms of the two person sponsor pieces you have that means active. You have to have at least a $50. Does it have to be an auto-ship, personally? Does it have to be an auto-ship, personally?
No.
So it just has to be in one within the last 4 weeks. Does that have to be an auto-ship?
Okay, and that's 50 PV, that's not exactly a dollar.
Right, PV.
Gotcha.
Okay, now, you got to have 500 on your left volume leg, right? So that means that this leg over here has to have at least 501 dots. Correct? So this leg would have to have at least 501, and this leg would have to have 500, correct? So you have to have a minimum of over $1,000 total. Because remember, you got to have whatever is your lesser leg, that's that 500. So this got to have at least 501 in PV. Does that make sense?
Well, PVs are 550, 100, 150, 200. So it probably would be, you know, 550. But I bet if it was 500 even, they would consider that wrong.
Yeah, 500. Did you balance the 5?
Well, most people are likely to have one more than the other.
Well, I get that.
But if they
had
both be
500,
huh? It can both be 500.
So it could be balanced.
Yeah.
So you have to have at least 1,000 of this.
Yeah.
One leg has to have at least 500. That's That would make you a bronze. Right? Is there anything else other than that?
No.
Okay. So next, that's brown, that's bronze. So let's go up to silver. That's next, correct? Okay. What is your own personal order now?
100.
100, does it have to be an auto ship or same thing? So then 4 weekends. 100 PUV. You've got to fill out the number 2. You need 2 personally sponsored people or have to have 100 now? Or still 50?
50. 1,000 less their leg volume.
And 1,000 is less the volume leg?
Yeah.
So you have to have at least $2,000 volume. 1,000 is less the volume leg. You've got to have 2,000 total at least, and 1,000 has to be over in your less volume. Okay? Is that all you have to have? And that makes you a silver.
Mm-hmm.
And that all has to happen in a 4 week period.
One week.
That's 1 week?
Yeah.
So this has to have 1 week, but just in 1 week. You get the promotion in 1 week, or it has to be more than 1 week?
Every week, whatever the highest ranking you reach, that's what you get for your title, and you remain at that highest ranking, okay? But you get paid as builder, so it is for just a week.
So
paid as and your rank are actually two different things.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when you get your title in that week, so you go out and you did 1,000 in your left volume leg, 2,000 total, and you got all the points, you're going to get promoted to silver. During the next week, you're going to get paid in silver. Because at the end of the week,
volume.
No, I understand. When did you get paid?
Oh, you get paid like basically a week and a half from when the weekend. All our weeks end on Saturday night at midnight, and then you get paid not that next Friday, but the following Friday.
Right. So are you paid on what you did in the past at your title? Does it reach back and pay you on that, or is it going to then pay you for the next week coming up in your new title
that week?
That was coming up
that
week or the
previous.
So leading up to it. So it reaches back and says, during that week, you retrieve silver, so we're going to pay you up to silver. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then the following week, you don't do 1,000. Let's say you fall back down and you be a bronze, and you get paid as a bronze. So it changes week to week, week to week, based upon what you do each week.
Yep.
Okay. So. Okay, so after you have silver, so you got to keep up with it honestly each week, maintain it each week to keep that the title. Otherwise, you're going to get the title, but you're going to get paid as the different ranks from week to week. Okay, so obviously the first thing you've got to establish a level of consistency, right? Because the odds are most people aren't going to. If they have 1,000 left bottom leg for that week, probably not going to have that again next week. Not saying it's impossible. And it could happen simply because you're getting more people, right? If you're doing the business right, you're calling more people, and you're getting more people, that could potentially do it. But if you didn't have the same amount of business when in last week as you did this week, then of course, you're probably going to be less than that title again. So you've got to start developing consistency. So you may go up and down, and that's not unusual, by the way. like, not something you should feel bad, like, oh man, I was a silver, now I'm back to bronze right now, paid ass. That's not unusual. It happens in this field, in terms of you get there, and then you back a little bit, and then you move up, and then you back a little bit, and then you finally get there, and you're there consistently. And then you get to the next position, the same thing happens. You get to the next position, you get the same thing with income. That'll happen in your income. A lot of times you get up to a couple thousand, and then you might be back to 1,200. And then you get up to 2,500, and then you're back to 2,000. And then you're up to... Now, obviously, once you get to the point where you're making 10, 15, 20 grand a month, that's different, because then it's going to be very consistent. I mean, it's going to fluctuate to some degree, but pretty consistent. But definitely in the beginning, fluctuate. Until you get a level of consistency coming into your business. That's why you've got to keep recruiting. You've got to constantly keep shoveling coal. That's how I look at it, shoveling coal into your engine car to keep the train moving. Because if you keep using the coal that you shovel into the engine car from previous weeks, you're not going to have enough steam. You got to keep the steam going. You have to have more people shoveling coal into the engine car to really keep the momentum going. Once you have the momentum, then it'll pick up the pace. All right. So next is gold, right?
Yes.
Gold, how much is the auto ship or the oil?
200.
So now you've got to have 200. Let me ask you a question. If you have preferred customers, does that count with that number?
That's
personal. Yes, I get that. But this right here, is it sales? Like retail?
No, that's just your
order.
Yeah.
You
got to
have 2,000 in your pay list.
You have to have one buy.
The customers will count down in the future.
Hang on a second. Before we go, this number right here is your personal order.
Personal.
Right.
But what I'm saying is
your order.
If somebody, can somebody order a bottle? Can somebody go to your website and order a bottle?
Yes.
Would it count in that number?
No.
Just your
sales. But it doesn't count your personal sales.
Correct.
It doesn't count your personal
sales.
But they'll put it in the weaker leg for you.
Helping me understand.
Is that right?
Yeah, we did a good job.
Because some companies, if somebody went to your website and they ordered a customer, order. That would count as your personal sales. That's why I'm clarifying. So this is 200 now in your own personal order. Gotcha. You got to have two, is it still 50?
Still 50, but you have two on each side.
So now at gold, you would have to have two on each side. Obviously, I know they'd be anywhere in between. But now you got to have two, they have to have at least 50? So like that, personally sponsored. You got to have two on your left, two on your right, personally sponsored?
Yes.
Okay. And how much is in the left volume leg?
2,000.
2,000?
Don't you
have
a bronze? Does that set a bronze or a bronze?
One of those four needs to be a bronze.
Okay. One of these four people has to be a bronze. So you have to have a bronze, what is it called?
Bronze.
Personally sponsored.
So personally sponsored bronze. So, you got to have 200 in your own order that you place with the company. You got to have $2,000 in less volume, then you got to have four personally sponsored people, two on the left, two on the right. Obviously, you can have more, but a minimum of two on the left, two on the right. And you got to have a personally sponsored bronze somewhere. Right? Okay. And then that should promote you to gold. However, to get the car, you have to do it a certain amount of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I got it right here. I had it right here. The car.
8,000 in a month.
Yeah. 8,000 in a month.
Well, you could. 8,000 in a week.
You can be driving a BMW, paid for Sozo, and all it takes is building a small team that produces at least 8,000 in auto ship sales.
So it's all on auto ship.
On your pay leg over one calendar month.
So you can get gold without it being auto ship.
Yes.
The title of gold.
Yes.
Okay, but to get the car, all of your volume has to be on auto ship.
8,000 in a month on auto ship. And from what I understand, it doesn't say here, but from what I understand, you also have to achieve gold one time during the month.
Okay.
So you could have you know, and the month actually is more than 4 weeks because we have a 4 week cycle, so it's more than 4 weeks. So in order to get the car, you have to have at least 8,000 in the calendar month. So that gives you a little extra. It's not like you have to have two every week. One of the 4 weeks has to be two, so you have to be paid as gold one of the four. But then you could have a week where you have 15 in your lesser volume, and then 25 the week after. See what I'm saying?
But to get the car, you've got to have it all in auto ship.
8,000, it says here, auto ship.
I mean, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, anyway.
Because then it's harder to lose.
Exactly. And then you want it to be just revenue. You don't want to be just getting packed. And then people come in on packs, and the next month you have less packs, and now you're not getting the car thing. So the auto ship is creating stability.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
So that auto ship, whether it's a customer or a distributor,
yeah.
Auto ship is auto ship?
Auto ship's
yeah.
auto ship.
Okay.
Sure. So total auto ship, once again, that's a good thing because that creates stability, and that means that obviously if you get your car payment, it's more likely that if you're getting your car payment because it is consistent on auto ship, and it's easier to replace. If you've done it based on getting, let's say that month you got somebody in and they were hot and they were going to work and they were doing 1,000 off pack, well, what if next week you don't do that? What if next month you don't? You want to have stability to get that car. So that's gold. So what I say is, like, the bottom line is, everybody here that's in this room, that's the position you need to get to, ultimately, right?
Right.
So you don't even understand anything else about the paper. Because by the time you get to gold, I mean, then you'll need to know what's the next one. What's the next one?
Sapphire.
Sapphire. So... you don't need to know sapphire right now, that's for sure.
No. It's platinum, I'm sorry. Platinum, then sapphire.
So the first thing you need to know is what you know. We just went through and talked to what you know. So wherever you are, let's say you just got started and you're a distributor. First thing you need to do is be a what?
Builder.
You need to be a builder. Then after you need to be a builder, you need to be a bronze. Once you achieve bronze, then you need to be a silver. And then that's how you do it. And you just focus on one step at a time. Because the reality is you can't be a gold without being a silver. Now you could do it all in the same week. You could come in and be a distributor and go from distributor to gold, but you're still going to go through every single week. You're going to still become a builder, a bronze, a silver before you become a gold. Even though you might do it all at the same time, it's silly. There's no way around that. So you might as well just go one spot at a time. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a break, stretch the legs, use the restroom, and we'll come back and answer some questions for you. Find some questions. Then we're going to send you on your way.
Red and Rock Central.